Through these weeks after the Epiphany, our scripture readings have revealed to us the nature of Jesus, have shown us the full nature of this one who is born, the child of Mary in Bethlehem. Throughout this season, we have especially seen the divinity of Jesus made manifest. You may remember at the beginning of the season, these revelations began with the visit of the wise men, those gift-bearing astrologers from the East. They are the first Gentiles to come and worship the baby. Then Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. The one without sin goes to those waters and enters into them with the multitude of humanity, goes into the waters with all those who are seeking to turn their lives around, to reorient themselves to God. And at his baptism, God proclaims Jesus the Beloved. On the Feast of the Presentation on February 2nd, we remembered Mary and Joseph taking the 40-day-old baby, their son Jesus, to be presented in the temple, as was required by the law. They purchased two doves, the offering of those who are poor. And I'm always struck by how that ordinary ritual, conducted for all firstborn sons, becomes extraordinary when the prophet Simeon, the one who has been waiting in the temple for the appearance of the Lord, sees Jesus and calls him a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. This child of Mary is revealed in the presentation as the light of the world, as the light that has come to all people, the Messiah of God. And today, on the last Sunday after the Epiphany, we hear in our gospel the final manifestation of this season. We hear the story of the Transfiguration, where Jesus takes his disciples Peter, James, and John up the mountain. And while Jesus prays there, his appearance changes. His clothes become dazzling white. And Jesus talks with Moses and with Elijah. Moses, the great prophet, the one who leads the people out of slavery in Egypt, the one to whom God entrusts the tablets of the covenant. And Elijah, that prophet of God's people, who calls the people back to God. And then there is that voice, the voice of God the Father declaring Jesus God's beloved Son, the beloved one, and tells the disciples to listen to him. Throughout Scripture, mountaintops are places where God is encountered. Mountains are a kind of borderland between heaven and earth. On mountains, divinity touches humanity. People experience God's presence. Both Moses, as we heard in our first lesson, and Elijah encounter God on mountains. In our own day, we speak of mountaintop experiences when something profound, something significant happens. Often, they describe an encounter with the holy, a time that we experience God's presence in some way. When the divine is found on a literal mountaintop or in one of those mountaintop experiences, it typically is a very profound experience. And I think there can sometimes be a temptation to say, let's stay in this spot. Let's see if we can prolong this moment. Maybe try to delay return to daily life. We hear Peter express this in today's gospel. He says, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter has that impulse to enshrine this moment, to mark the location, to remain where he and the others had this encounter. And the gospel adds that Peter did not know what to say. I got to be honest, I'm not surprised that Peter doesn't know what to say. How could he begin to understand what he was experiencing? How can he interpret seeing Jesus become dazzling white, talking with prophets from ages past? It is really only after the death and the resurrection of Jesus that this mountaintop experience begins to make sense to Peter and to the others. What the three apostles experienced that day is Jesus as he truly is. They are given the gift of really seeing Jesus. They glimpse his glory as the Son of God. They see Jesus in dazzling resurrection light. They see Jesus in the fullness of his divinity. They see Jesus revealed in the glory that is his true nature, his nature as the Messiah. But they have only a glimpse. But I think it's just enough of a promise that they can set their hope on this glimpse and go and move forward on the difficult road they have to walk. Because they all must leave that mountain. Peter can't stay there. And where they are going is to Jerusalem, to the city that kills the prophets, the city that will kill Jesus. Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem and to the cross, and the disciples go with him on that difficult road. They are heading to that time that Jesus will be betrayed, handed over to sinners, tortured, and crucified. Jesus will die on the cross, not for any crime or any sin he committed, but for refusing to give up love. And on the third day, Jesus will be raised from the dead to the glory that is his. Jesus is raised to the glory that he comes to bestow on humanity. That glory that we will be changed from glory to glory is the promise we have in our collect of the day. That we will be changed from glory into the glory of Jesus. That we will be lifted up to the divine life. But like Jesus, we can only come to the fullness of God's glory by walking the way of the cross. And so like the disciples, we too must go to Jerusalem. We must follow Jesus in the way, trusting that the cross is the path of true and abundant life. We must follow him through the waters of baptism, where we die to sin and rise to the life of glory that Jesus shares with us. The only path to that glory is following in the way that Jesus goes before us, in the way of the cross. Each year on this Sunday before Lent begins, we hear the story of the Transfiguration. And I think it's a reminder. It is a reminder to us of where we are going as we follow Jesus. And it is a reminder that we have not yet arrived. There is still a challenging road ahead for us. A road we do not always want to walk. A road that we do not always faithfully travel. And to help us recommit to following Jesus on this journey, the Church gives us the season of Lent, those 40 days in which we are called to reorient our lives to God. Now, I have to be honest with you, when I was younger, I really did not look forward to Lent. It seemed a dreary season with a strong focus on my sinfulness and my own unworthiness. But I have to tell you that as I grow older, I am having a renewed appreciation for this season, and more recently have come to see Lent as a gift, even as something I need each year. Because the season of Lent is not a time for us to feel bad or unworthy. It is not time to punish ourselves. Rather, it is a call to be honest, about where we are in relation to God, our neighbor, ourselves, and the creation. It's a time to renew our commitment to follow Jesus where he leads. It is a season to adjust our vision, to be sure our eyes are fixed on him, that we are behind him, that we are following him. Lent is that time to examine our hearts and our lives and to ask God where God is leading us and to ask how we are being called to change and to grow. It's a time to ask how God would transform and transfigure us, so that we may walk in paths of holiness. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and during the liturgy that day, we will be invited to keep a holy Lent. And the Book of Common Prayer invites us to keep this season by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. As we move towards Lent, I invite you in the coming days to ask how God is calling you to keep a holy Lent. How are we being called to deepen our relationship with God? What practices and activities are currently distracting us from following Jesus? What are we being called to cast off, to give up for these 40 days, so that we can be open to God in new ways? What things is God calling us to do that will deepen our relationship with God, ourselves, our neighbor, and the creation? Jesus desires to share his divine life with us until we glow with the radiance of his glory. We are to be so filled with the light of Christ that we reflect the light of Jesus in all we do. We are to orient our lives to God, that we can see God's glory, that all can see God's glory in us, even now, even in this life. The miraculous event in today's gospel is, of course, called the Transfiguration, and that means it's talking about Jesus, the one who is transfigured before the three apostles. But I wonder if it's also true that the apostles are transfigured by this experience. Jesus doesn't change on that mountain so much as allow his disciples to see him fully. They are granted a vision of what they will see in the future. They glimpse eternity. They are allowed, if only briefly, to see who Jesus really is. And through this experience, they are changed. They are transformed. They are able to leave that mountain, and they walk with Jesus to Jerusalem, not perfectly, not always understanding what is happening, but they go with him. And most will drift away in the hours that Jesus hangs on the cross, but they come back. They do not abandon him forever. And after Jesus is killed and raised from the dead, they come to understand what happened that day on that mountaintop. By the power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, they are truly transformed. They leave behind their confusion. They leave behind their fear. They are filled with the light of Jesus, and they go out into the world and do the very acts that Jesus did. They teach and preach. They heal. They raise the dead. And most of them, in the end, give their lives as a witness to Jesus, as martyrs to the faith. The transformation that they experienced, we are likewise called to experience. The life they lived is the life to which we are called. We follow the same Jesus. We are filled with the same Holy Spirit. We are bathed in the same divine light. Jesus invites us this day to share in his divine life, the same life that Peter, James, and John, and all those other followers of Jesus who have gone before us have shared. Jesus is calling us to deep and intimate relationship with him until we glow with his radiance. May we answer this call by setting out on the journey that is set before us, following Jesus on the way wherever he leads us. And may we use the gift of this coming season of Lent to allow God to strip away all distractions so that we clearly hear his call to us. And may we always follow Jesus, walking the way of the cross, that we receive that glory of his divine life that he desires to share with us. Amen.